everybody here that's supposed to be here.
Yeah.
No apologies from anybody else.
Yeah, apologies for the last time. She's away.
Oh, yeah, she said she was going to be here. Okay. Right. We have a few things on the list to discuss tonight. One of them is to review the whole thing around disappointment. I know the Seven did a court case around it, but we wanted to expand on that and talk about that and see if there's any other consequences. We want to look at groups, talk about the Christmas meetings, which I believe was on your agenda from the 7th. What we're going to do, what we're not going to do. And then it would be useful to have any updates, if anybody's got some things to share from their mountain perspective. I saw there was a post on revealed law today, a piece of legislation which needs further looking at, because it's unformed, but seems to be good. That's cool. And then we'll see what else is time to do after we've done that one. So, disappointment. Well, we met as a 3 last week. We might have felt that there was something that we needed to look at as a 12. So, do you have any further comment on that?
I'd say I shared at the way day thing that God had said about the fact that disappointment would be something that robbed people of coming into something new. And the sense of, you know, with all the opportunities that there are, all the things that God's doing, you know, is there a sense of excitement and anticipation, or is there a sense of... and that disappointment is not so much disappointment that we've faced in our own lives towards people, but disappointments that we may feel towards God, or promises, or the prophetic that may have been spoken over us, or promises not being fulfilled, that type of thing, which could be a hindrance to then pursuing something new, if there's almost like a fatigue about things that haven't happened as they were expected or as they were promised. And expectations can be false expectations. In other words, there are expectations, not the things that God said, or they can be real expectations that we have because we believe God said something. And sometimes it may be we've interpreted what God said in a particular way. That may not have been that way, but other times it's been. And therefore, why? Why have we not seen the full promises? Why have we not seen things fulfilled? And is the enemy using that to hinder us being passionate about moving forward into things? So I think it's something to consider, and to consider personally, but also to consider on behalf of the whole. You know, as a whole, does the enemy have accusations that he is using? If we do have things personally, obviously that does give an access point for the enemy, but there may well be a general overarching thing that's a strategy. That's what it felt like God was saying. There's a strategy that the enemy's using to stop us being excited and passionate about doing things, or moving forward, or seeking for the things that God would like to do. I don't know if anyone's got any thinking of that. What was the court case the 7 did exactly like that? No?
Yeah, but we just opened it up for any, like, we've got any accusations to do with, but we didn't think that was it. We just felt we needed to do that as a simple. Yeah. I mean, my assumption would be that every mountain would probably need to do it as well, but we weren't doing it on, we were just doing it from...
your own perspective.
Yeah.
On the 7th.
Yeah.
On
behalf
of the Ecclesia.
Yeah, on behalf of the church here at the house, from that perspective, not an overview.
And when did you do that?
Last week.
Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And
what did you feel?
Well, I'm just trying to find it. I can't find it. It's on your phone.
No, it's not on the phone, is it?
Well, no, it's just on email. It's on Slack, isn't it?
It's on Slack.
Okay. Well, can you give us a gist?
Oh, that's why I'm trying to find it.
Can't remember.
Oh, what's happened since then?
It's only last week.
Well, you can look at it on Slack too then, and then you won't need me to. It's on Slack. I'm trying to find it.
It's under the 7 minutes. But from what I've seen on this, it's not coming from the same perspective as Mike's just shared.
Oh, okay.
So how I would interpret what you've got here is very much directed towards the teaching and the way the church is functioning, rather than people's hopes, dreams and visions and aspirations or dreams of God or expectations of God or
mm-hmm.
coming back to what's been promised by God. It's more about...
So maybe disappointment at the minute is multifaceted then. Maybe we need to look at all aspects.
Hence bringing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is what the accusations when we...
We just asked generally.
We just asked about question. Accusations against the Ecclesia to do with disappointment. So.
Well, that's the point. Accusations against the Ecclesia. What about accusations against God? Do people have accusations against God? Are they holding things in disappointment?
Oh, they may well have done,
God?
But we discussed this, so that's the aspect that we covered from it.
Yeah.
But I think, I've been looking at it also from a personal thing, and it's disappointment is probably one of the biggest things, and it is multifaceted, isn't it? It goes from every which way you want to.
Yeah.
Possibly we need to look at all avenues of it, so we might not have got the one that Mike was talking about, but this was obviously one that was relevant.
Because obviously over the years lots of things have been said, lots of things have been shared, lots of dreams have been shared, and not all of them have happened. Even in regard to the mandates and the things that we're working on now, stuff's not always worked out, has it? So what gets in the way of us putting that right or working with God to see it come to fruition at some point is going to be related to disappointment, but and other things can have access, can't they? Unbelief, it's never going to happen. Hopelessness. So it opens the doorway for lots of negativity. But if we're going to press forward and we're going to actually expand and do the things that we're called to do, we actually need to overcome those things so that we can press forward and be excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a noticeable lack of excitement. Apart from Dave, of course.
Mm. I'm being very well behaved, I'll have you note.
I did note. Thank you.
What are the accusations against the Ecclesia regarding disappointment? That's
the one.
Yeah. Do you want me to read them all out? Or do you want to?
Well, I don't need to because I've got them on here.
Oh, yeah,
that's the 7, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. These weren't necessarily, we've got these on behalf of the house. These aren't necessarily just what the 7 might have come up with. It was what we felt people might be struggling with, some of these things in the house, not just
I see.
7
mm-hmm.
struggling with these things.
Oh, so these are what else?
On behalf of the house.
Yeah.
You'll find that it works.
You don't need to help him.
Yes.
So those are the things.
The desktop's not. There we go.
The church is struggling with.
Yes.
Not what you guys.
Well, it wasn't specific like the 5 of us. These are the things we asked for the accusations against.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously, it's from a different aspect of what Mike was talking about. So that's just what we felt about that. It wasn't.
Yeah, but that's
like
pretty good. So
they weren't necessarily. They weren't all my things, or they weren't Joe's things.
Joined
they
the
were
joined
that group. But what I'm saying is, in general, what we felt that people might have.
There's some of those little plus sign, which.
There we go. 7 minutes.
Are you in?
He's in. And then I join.
So this takes it obviously from one point of view. But given we are here as a 12, are there accusations and issues regarding government and disappointment in government and the way government has operated or been explained or portrayed we need to address and deal with? And then in terms of the blueprint or the vision, are there disappointments around that, how it's worked or not worked? Are there any other areas related to mountains that we need to look at?
Possibly groups. Disappointment
in groups. Yeah, we'll come on to that one. If we look at it from a blueprint and strategic viewpoint first, the stuff that we need to clear here. Any thoughts on that, or should we just move on? Do we need to do anything as a 12? Do we need to step in as a 12?
Well, yeah, we didn't get the perspective that you were talking about. This is our perspective, and I think, you know, I don't know if it does need... I mean, some of it, I think...
there are some things in there I don't understand where they came from, but hey. A bit random.
So some of it is... Is it some of your things you relate to? So would you relate to these, or are these people's personal relationships?
I mean, whenever we do court cases, there's always some things, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, and some
I've talked about that before, not, so some things I have no idea where they come from. So. But you include them all.
Yes,
of course.
But if there were some things here which were things that people related to in the seven,
yes.
Do you think that
we actually did a separate one?
We did
a court case just for the seven first, didn't we? And then we did one for the house, but we didn't put the 7-1 on it on Slack. We did
so
two
was that
cases.
Different to what you've got over here? Is that completely different?
I can't remember.
I think there was a thing on that one.
Oh, yes, because, yeah.
I would possibly say not. It was more.
I mean, it's to do with being a five and a you know, expectations and people and feeling let down and all that kind of stuff, which we dealt with, which we didn't feel was appropriate to put on Slack because it was our stuff in that sense. There were some probably changing goalposty ones which would have been relevant to us, that you think you're doing something and then, oh, no, no, you should be doing this, and which we, you know, we dealt with all of those. So I'm telling you now in the sense of, like, well, we dealt with them.
Yeah.
You can see our list if you want to, but we just didn't think it was...
Well, I just wondered if it was like that plus sort of parts of that, but then...
We decided not to put it on public.
The things that I've got, I mean, I've just got a few. I would say probably they're not on here at all. So it was slightly different. It was from our own perspective. Yeah. Government is seven.
Okay. Which you can see if you wish.
So I'd have to put them together because we've got all the bits.
There we go.
Okay. I mean,
but we just didn't think it was, you know.
Well, yeah. I think in the sense of the aspect of it that I was feeling and what God was showing me was, we have a lot of opportunities and a lot of things that God is leading us into in terms of. Things that we're going to do, therapies, engaging people, the conferences, things that we're going to interact with people more. And we're looking to see people's lives change, this place here becoming an exchange. All those type of things requires people's involvement. In fact, everything requires people's involvement because it's not an organisation. It's an organism made up of people, living cells. So if people aren't getting involved, then there's a limit to what anyone can do. Because then the same people will be doing the same things and getting worn out because other people aren't taking the opportunities or perceiving the opportunities or whatever. And some of the disappointment issues could be hindrances to going forward and taking the opportunities that God is presenting because they're there. You know, there's so many opportunities for us to be able to do things differently, to engage people, see change in people's lives. It's almost like, how do we overcome the inertia which seems to be taking so long to do anything? This seems to be lack of enthusiasm in some of these things where there's opportunities that God's giving. So if that's because of either personal or any corporate sense where that's in place, then we need to deal with it. Otherwise, you know, part of the strategies God's given us is that people would be involved in fulfilling their destiny, in outworking some of the things that God has called us to do in terms of ministering healing and ministering wholeness and bringing truth and healing and health and various aspects of those things, which is going to require people to be involved.
That's true, but I suppose, I mean, who is available at this time to do that?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Are people not available because they don't know there's opportunities, they haven't seen the opportunities, or they don't want to pursue opportunities because they are disappointed from previous opportunities? So all those things might be true, and therefore we need to address all of them. So if people don't know the opportunities, then we need to communicate to them, which is...
Yeah, they're all kind of interrelated, though. But also, don't forget, they might not be on their blueprint.
No.
They might not be mandated to take part in it. It may just not be on their heart. But if they've got expectations that are not the same vision as your expectation, then they're going to have disappointment. So you're going to be driving for your vision, which may or may not be clearly communicated to them. They've got an expectation of what the vision looks like, and then they're disappointed when it doesn't look like it. So it's a bit of everything. You know, are you communicating the vision? Are they catching that vision? Do they then have the opportunity to go and find out if they've got a blueprint or mandate to take part in that vision? A lot of that was confusion. And disappointment is really having expectations that are not met. Well, if you step back from that, that means I'm looking at reality of a situation, and it's not how I think it should be. How crazy is that? What have I? What say have I got in that? So unless you can detach from it and go, I'm in that, God's put me in that, so I will pursue that, and it's clear, yeah. Then we're always going to have this thing going on. Do you see what I mean? So I think it starts individually, yes, because if you're bringing expectations and they're not met, then you're going to get disappointment. So you need to, yes. So that's the first bit. And your teaching says, go to God, find out your destiny, get your blueprints, that sets your expectation.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah.
But can I just throw something else in there, which is, quite often we have lots of things that we bandy around as being opportunities or possibilities for the future. I just throw into the mix that often it takes someone to pick up something and start to run with it, and other people will be drawn to it.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure that at the moment there's anything tangible of anything for anybody to pick up to say, I'm into that. Everything is kind of, well, we could do this, we could do therapies, we could do oils, we could do bowls, we could do sound, we could do frequency, we could do healing rooms, we can do all of these things.
Yeah.
But often it takes someone, and I don't think at the minute anyone is kind of saying, because primarily the people who you might expect to run with something are all here and involved in 6,000 other things. And what we're kind of hoping is that somebody who's not in this environment or someone will suddenly say, that's me, and know how to just take hold of it and run with it. And I think that's an unrealistic expectation on people, because I don't think that any of the... Fine. We're bandying things around, but there isn't actually a specific... Like, this is what it could look like, because no one's really got the to do that in the first place. And I think part of it is because... I don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I know we've discussed this in terms of how things get going.
To be something. The first person to say, I'm going to discover this, I'm going to explore this, this is my mandate, and I'm going to go and find out what it looks like.
Yeah.
But in our group of people that we have at the moment, we don't really have people who function like that, do we? We have people who get excited by something and then may join in.
Yeah. But what the point is in terms of disappointment, is there something stopping people, those people who could start something, hearing God and responding, to offer an opportunity? Because if, in a sense, our philosophy is we want people to hear God for themselves and respond.
Mm-hmm.
And we want people to respond because God is inspiring them. But if they can't hear that inspiration because they're disappointed of other things, then we're not going to get those people saying, yeah, I feel God stirring me, because they're not hearing that stirring or feeling that stirring because they're deadened to it because of other things, which so I think is what God's saying.
I think that alongside disappointment, that we need to be exploring fear. And fear of some of these things. Fear of getting it wrong, fear of goalposts changing, fear of what it looked like, what am I like, you know, fear. I don't think it's just disappointment if that's the angle that you're coming from. Because I think fear will put people off stepping out, trying, saying, can I, shall I, maybe through memory, maybe through a lot of those things. I don't think that's purely disappointment.
Yeah, but in a sense, you know, we do have to look at how we begin things so that people can move forward with them, and we wanted to clear some of the stuff out of the way that would be a hindrance to that. Yeah. Otherwise we'll just be going round and stuck, you know, without, and nothing ever happening unless, you know, somebody says, well, I'm gonna do it.
Mm.
Now that's okay if that person is mandated to God to do that, but it would be wrong for people to do it if they weren't.
Mm.
Otherwise it would be, well I'm doing this
because nobody else does,
and I'm not called to do it because I need know it needs to be done.
Mm.
Now it's okay if the mandate is, here's a temporary mandate to get something moving, and once it's moving someone else will pick it up. That's okay. You know, but that's obviously needs to be clear that that's you know, what it is that is going to take place. So, we do. I believe we need to do some things differently,
mm-hmm.
to give people an opportunity to glimpse certain opportunities, but to do that, things will have to be facilitated. And if people are not feeling free or to facilitate something, then it won't happen. So we can have lots of ideas that God says, well, here's some things that you could do, and we can say, hey, here's some of the opportunities that we have to do something differently, but how are we going to facilitate that and do it if someone doesn't say, oh yeah, I'll do that? I'm not talking about starting a ministry as much as sharing something, doing something different from an engagement type of perspective. So some of the things we were thinking about is, rather than, on a Sunday, we could do other things other than just teaching and worship. We could do engagement aspects with some of the things that God is inspiring. So people could get a glimpse of the practicalities of experiencing something which may stir their hearts. But if we're going to do that, then someone's got to facilitate it. So we could do, for instance, on a Sunday, we've got a few spaces. We could set up things in different spaces so that people could experience various aspects of practical things, whether that be a supernatural engagement. And I think Becky saw some stuff coming out of heaven into the room, which people could sit under.
We could
establish an opportunity for people to receive sound, light, healing ministry. We could, like Joe could do a deconstruction session, because that's something that she's got revelation of. There are other things. Perhaps each mountain could do something, or think about what could we do as an activation to help people connect with either the mountain or the thing that God is doing. And all those things are opportunities, but I think there needs to be a little bit of clearing away before people will feel even stirred to that. There's probably lots of people who need physical healing. So how do we facilitate physical healing? Do we call the angel to stir the waters? How are we going to facilitate people engaging it? Because we want to give people an opportunity to experience something in that, rather than just sort of what we've done before from an encounter base. What would that look like?
That sounds good.
Well, yeah, I think it sounds good, but I would, because I think it's a great opportunity for us to do something which is going to help people encounter and experience some of the things we're talking about. But I can't do more than one of it at a time. If I was going to do something, who else would feel that they could participate in that from a mountain perspective, from a seven perspective, from anyone, any perspective, in terms of helping people to connect with God so they experience something that will, in a sense, stir their hearts?
Well, I mean, we talked last Tuesday, and one of the things I felt that was to do exploring the bowls, which I was going to organise for next Monday evening here, just for people who would be interested in finding out. It would be very much a participatory experience, rather, and being open to hearing from God and what God is saying about how we use them, rather than anything else. It would be very much about being coming and taking part and contributing, rather than wanting to be taught. Because I really don't know anything any more than anybody else, other than my own personal experience of using them. So I was going to suggest facilitating that. I do actually feel a connection with that. But last Sunday, so not yesterday, but last Sunday, God showed me a river, golden river, pouring into the room like a waterfall, and I felt that he said to hold it back and to connect with it and come into agreement with it in terms of health. So I've been spending some time doing that, but then I also felt he said to for each mountain to also connect with it, to come into agreement with it, so that when it's released, it's got the fullness of everything, of what's on our blueprint for like those mountains that are currently occupied and active. And what I saw, that when it was released into the room, that there was it wasn't a still, relaxed pool. It was like a vortex, like a whirlpool. And I saw that, like the winds of change, Angel was stirring it up and creating this vortex where, when people sat in it, there was this centrifugal force that was pushing things out of people. So it could be blockages, mindsets, or whatever, was forcefully coming out of people as they engaged on purpose. So I wanted to put that out to you guys to take it back to your sort of mountain benches that you're on, and perhaps engage with that to come into harmony with it and agreement with it, that actually this river, this I don't know whether it's a river of grace, but it was fullness of actually for people being broken free of things. And that could, depending on each person, would be what it was. Does anybody resonate with that at all, or?
Yeah, that sounds good. So when would you think, obviously, once the mountains have come into agreement with that, are you thinking that, that we'll release it all in the room at the same time?
I guess it would depend on what God says, but I would say once the river was released, then yes, it would. It would be, because it would be individual to what people need. Mm. And so if it's got the fullness of everything that God's given us, we can release it.
But I think it would need to be more than a sort of 5-minute thing during something else.
Yes,
it would
let's really focus on it.
Yeah, yes. And really engage it and give an opportunity for fully experiencing it.
Yeah, but I've been thinking about
that,
it.
How would we release? So to all get in the same space, then you have to put down the burden of disappointment. So those that are carrying a burden of disappointment need somehow to be released to be able to get back into the flow, into that space. So I think some form of something that is a healing and around them putting down that burden of disappointment and letting it go, probably, before we did that one. I think that's probably, that feels like something. So I don't know if we can go through that and end up at that, as in taking the blessing of being there again. So I don't know how we can, because that would be a good Sunday thing, put down all your, you know, are you carrying an expectation that hasn't been met, or a disappointment, and diddly-dee, you know, for everyone, I think, probably. I don't know. Just,
well, that,
I'm just suggesting, you know, to hear your...
And it's whether we would do a corporate court case, but actually how many people would be able to engage.
Yes.
You know.
I'm not sure that they would know, I think, possibly. Although that it would be released, I don't know that you would go through the front of their head to let them give something up like that. If that, no, do you know what I mean? I think, I don't know that we. I think we're just accommodating that, if that makes any sense.
It depends what it is, I think, because, you know, when it comes to disappointment, when it comes to healing, that's quite a tangible thing, isn't it? People do connect with, actually, well, I've been praying for healing for this, or I've, you know, whatever it might be. You know, that's quite an obvious thing, isn't it? Of actually, that's not happened, and so you can become disappointed in that.
Like the same would probably be true of like prophetic words spoken over you, or things that you've really felt, you felt God say or someone said, and didn't work out or whatever, which may be again something that people carry. Yeah, so you facilitate that.
Well, one of the things, health-wise, that came up earlier in the year was looking at disappointment at the end of the year. I mean, it was quite clear, sort of towards the end of the year, to do with healing and looking at what, you know, people having felt let down by God in situations of health and stuff like that. So when it comes to healing, that's you can potentially help people do, maybe even split up into groups and say, okay, people feel that they're disappointed with God for X or Y or whatever it is, and then take people through a process of forgiving or releasing God, letting it go, and asking him to, and taking them through an engagement of what their what he wants to show them for this moment in time, rather than what may have been in the past. So deal with the past and then look at the present and the future by engaging with him, which could be done in groups depending on, you know, they're going to be a few things that people would easily or more easily identify with when it comes to disappointment than others. You know, people might not connect with, oh, I'm disappointed because of the Bible was mistranslated directly, but even though if it might be in there, if they do, then that's cool, but they might not connect with that. But they might easily connect with, actually, I've been ill for however many years and I'm not healed.
That sounds quite a good, to me that's sort of resonating really, basically, having quite personal little groups, go through that, go through a process of releasing that stuff. Obviously it's going to take some bravery for some to share with people that they don't know, so I don't know how the groups would be, you know, I don't know, you could do random numbers out of a hat, I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't in know. A sense, if the group facilitated them engaging God to release it to God,
not
necessarily.
It doesn't matter. Their
guts in front of the group, doesn't matter, as long as someone's been able to help them engage with God to release it. If you're doing some sort of court case type thing.
Fall to write things down and then they don't have to.
I had a picture of the bin bag thing, you see. I thought actually just take a bin bag.
Or you could have a shredder.
And put it.
Put the shredder on.
Chuck it in. Go
past it. It's tangible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of cathartic.
You can't set it on fire.
Yeah, but it would be sort of.
We have done it with fire, haven't we?
What would the potential thing. We need a sort of list of the different areas.
What prompts, you mean?
Prompts, yeah. Because either we're going to say, who's got disappointment? 15 with health, all go over there, or whatever. Or we're going to have to say, what are the things we feel God actually wants us to
deal with?
Yeah. And then there may be a miscellaneous category that doesn't fit any of them, that someone else can go in, you know, in a sense. Because then it wouldn't leave anyone out, does it? But I don't know. But someone would have to facilitate them all. You know, if there were, I don't know how many groups there would be, but. You know, you obviously don't want it to be so small that people would feel, I'm looking at you, and you're the only one in it. But obviously, it's difficult to know how many people until you say, here's some categories. Mm-hmm. Or actually, it could be, well, actually, I'm in five categories here. so I need to go round five times or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know. Is there five? I don't know. But is there five different? I mean, it's all the same process, though, isn't it?
It's the same basic process
of whichever category you're in. So
you could just do groups and just say just deal like, with any disappointment.
Just deal with disappointment.
Well, that would obviously be easier.
Just feel let down.
Yeah, exactly. Just get it off your chest.
Yeah, that would probably be easier, wouldn't it?
Get rid of it.
Just be a. Here's some of the categories. You feel any of these, you can deal with them all. But we're going to break down so it's easier for you to connect.
Well, I think in a group, sometimes there's potential to just switch off. Cause it's like, well, other people are engaging. Do you know what I mean? So it's like it's less... There's less pressure or whatever to engage if you're in a group, because you can be just like... Whereas, you know, if you're in a group where you've intentionally gone somewhere to, do you think, or not?
Intentionally going.
Well, to participate, rather than just sat there like, get on with it, let's wait for worship. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
But
I'm
do you
sure,
think
I'm not sure we've got a congregation.
What do you mean?
Like
so you're saying... If there was a specific category, people might choose to go there because they're related.
No, not a specific category, but if we split into smaller groups, people might then
they've responded to
engage because they're out with their normal routine.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think smaller groups somewhere. Would be the way to go because they could be facilitated then in a way which, you know, someone could ask a question or someone could say something, whereas in big thing, they probably wouldn't. You know, if you did a larger corporate thing, I don't think necessarily people would feel free. Whereas in a smaller thing, they might say, "Oh, I had this thought, or this came to me, or something." Because you can give opportunity for people to voice if they're not sure. I don't know. What do you think?
I wouldn't function like that at all. If I was going to do this, I'd probably take a pad of paper and go and think about it on my own. To be honest, that's how I would function with it. Because I'd want to go and go, okay, I need to analyse this for myself. I don't particularly want to explore it in the open with other people.
We're not talking about exploring it in the open.
No, but we're saying about going into groups. There's a point of sitting in a group and then not talking
because
in that group.
It gives people the opportunity to ask questions if they want to.
That's fine, but if I wanted to, I would be going for, can you explain that to somebody else? So what are you saying?
It would be better to share something and give people the opportunity to go in a way and deal with it,
find a space, but
they could do it even the week before.
Or possibly.
If you want to, engage God with this, and next week we're going to come together and we're going to deal with it. I mean, that's one way of dealing with it.
There's an opportunity of doing it.
Yeah.
I say that, you know, it's not all, let's break it down into little groups. Because the other thing is, you've got to remember the Crosscombe guys as well.
Yeah.
And how would they interact with it?
Mm. Well, I think they're used to working in groups.
They've been there a while.
In confrontations.
Whether they're new or not.
Yeah.
So but they've still got a mixture of
how they'll be
work.
Useful, used to...
Yeah, the flip side of that is sometimes they're too good.
Yeah.
Because you put them in a group when they used to be in the groups, they dominate the groups and they'll share and they'll be very open and actually quite,
observationally, over the time when we've done things like this, whether you call it disappointment, forgiving, release, whatever you want to, because it's all the same, really, is they respond really well to a piece of paper, writing it down, nailing it to the cross.
They do.
Yeah.
So
they can do that individually.
That also be an option.
Yeah.
We could have a big basket because the application they would use is that, you know, there's Jesus, he's got a big basket, put your stuff in the basket. And I think that people respond so personally, we need to have a variety of a basket, a cross, whatever, you know, a shredder, a bin, whatever it is.
All the above.
All the above. But a lot of people relate to writing it down, don't they?
It's just how you would give people the opportunity, whether it's a come and bring something that you've thought about or come and think about it.
Can you do it twice? Well, because obviously if you're talking to somebody and they relate to a disappointment and God shows it to them, you don't want them carrying it from then till the next week because you're not going to deal with it till the next week. So you could kind of outline it and say, this is what God's saying to us. We don't, you know, if God shows you anything and anybody's got anything to say, you can deal with it today, and then give the opportunity to go away and seek God on it, and also provide an opportunity the following week. Because for some people, they will go need to go away, seek God, unpack it themselves, get some clarity on it. For other people, it'll be thing. So maybe over 2 weeks. Not saying you have to completely focus on it for 2 weeks, but certainly if you're going to open it up, I think you need an opportunity then for people to deal with it. And people may well need ministry too. And
well,
I know what we want to do is, what we want is obviously for people to engage with Jesus, but actually sometimes people need help and ministry and to see clearly when they're not.
What do other people feel about that?
So you're going to sort of the first week or a week, then you're going to pry on for the next.
I mean, I think it wouldn't
week,
hurt, particularly if the Crosscombe guys are going to. There's a lot of new guys, isn't there? You want them to embrace this in their lives generally. It's not just churchy, it's generally, isn't it? Then, you know, concept of forgiving at least needs to be explained to them, because they won't understand what you're on about.
Yeah, what do they do? How far
into
they just give it
the lead? Whenever it fits with the group, it's not like we've worked through 1 to 42 like they used to.
Right, okay.
It's like whatever the group dynamics are.
But even with disappointment, if people have, if God's putting his finger on deep disappointment, still want to bring forgiveness and release to the surface, don't you? Because actually this is where you deal with it. Yes, we want the emotion, the disappointment, the hopelessness, that will to come up so we can deal with it, but the way we deal with it is forgive and release, isn't it?
What, so are we saying actually we need to revisit, 1 week we need to revisit forgive and release, give people an opportunity to, has anything come up to the surface in terms of they need to disappoint? If it has, they can deal with it today, same day. If not, can everybody go away and we're going to deal with it? Like, think about it during the week and we'll do it again next week, but then we may then need to, that week, talk about actually some healing for people.
So where would other dynamics fit into that in terms of any accusatory things that are brought against somebody or that type of thing? Or is that, you don't think that's something that people really associate with at that level personally?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just looking at it, making sure we do this from a new perspective, not an old one, for a start. So making sure what we do is engagement and experiential-wise, which obviously things we've done like that in the past have been, because people have gone and responded and either used the baskets and everything else. Are there anything else, or do we do a court case to deal with the general accusation against us?
Well, I think that we would have, as a 12, my point of view would be that we would have to do a general court case to open it up so that we've made a way for people to be able to experience it and to partake of it. But then for them, each individual would then deal with the what God is showing them.
Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes like a lie-busting type scenario where you're asking God to reveal something to you as a thought or a feeling or a memory. Some people relate to that. You know, some people relate to, well, what are the accusations in this area in my life that maybe you don't know, but come when you give an opportunity for the enemy to say, ha ha, you know. So, it's that works differently. People like different ways of engaging, and
potentially that could be covered after forgive and release, could it?
I'm just sort of saying, well, what's the best way of helping facilitate that? Because it's a long time since we've done the court process as a teaching. Or in any way, we've been back in whatever, Gateway stuff, which would have been 2 years ago, if it's not 2.5 years ago or more, probably. You know, so it's quite a while ago that, and therefore do we assume that everyone understands how to do a court case? No, I think we can. So we probably need to have a quick recap so that may be a way, you feel Some people might not be able to hear God say, well, here's your problem, but they might be able to feel the condemnation of the enemy, which is what happens when a court case is just like, you know. But if people don't understand that process, then they would probably feel bad about that rather than, hey, yippee, I'm already forgiven and already covered by the judge, that type of thing. So maybe those two aspects of this is some of the ways you can deal with this might be good just to do a recap over. Sort of a basic recap, you know, in terms of the process. Because it's quite a simple process, really, isn't it? Really, you convene a court and ask for your accusers and stand with the judge effectively and hear what the enemy says. Or a corporate lie bus, or a lie bus, which is, okay, let's ask God to reveal, are there any areas of disappointment that he wants to identify in you that you might not know of? So both of them are both engagements or ways of going about an engagement, whether you do that personally or ask God, which we want, obviously, to give people an opportunity of doing. And help them do it, in a sense, you know, help them do it as a practical thing in terms of by, you know, having the ways of dealing with the aftermath, whether it be the shredding the thing or actually taking the verdict, you know, or ripping up the account, you know, the settlement of the accounts, or shredding it, you know, or pinning it to the cross, whether it be an accusation of when are we going to do it?
What if they've been going through that process and haven't had any results? Haven't had their expectations?
Well, they might be disappointed.
Therefore, they'd be disappointed. And that's where then we're about to suggest you go through that process again.
Yeah, but that's where we're looking to do it with a legislative, governmental, creating an environment and us preparing for that to be more powerful and effective. Than just someone doing it on their own. But yeah, it's the same thing if you do a live bus, and the thing is, I can't hear. That's what you nail first.
Yeah.
You nail that lie to start with.
Yeah.
You know,
but also, we've got a law of walking in forgiveness.
Yeah.
So actually, what we would need to do to
use that,
we'd need to legislate in the weeks running up to it, that people would be able to walk in forgiveness and have that revelation of forgiveness to be able to open the atmosphere to them being able to.
I think there's I realised Emma was away this week, because obviously I was thinking that each mountain would need to visit this themselves, and for us it's to do with hopelessness would be the prevailing accusation. I didn't realise Emma was away, so we will be meeting this week, but I don't know whether I can do that on our behalf. I kind of thought we needed to do it together, but I think for a lot of people where disappointment goes deep, that's the overriding feeling, is hopelessness, isn't it? But, you know, our thing really is hope, so...
Well, it's like having a sick heart, which means everything is... really, and I think
there's no point visiting. When you're hopeless, there's no point even visiting it, which is exactly what Dave was saying. There's no point even going there when hopelessness is in. So for me, that's something that we need to clear out of the... That's an accusation that we need to clear out of the way before you can even touch disappointment, because it's a
already
level, isn't it?
Yeah, but I do think your revelation of the golden pool where things leaving, the refining, is something that has to be facilitated by the 12. I feel I'm in a sort of holding pattern, which is for that unified thing. And earlier on, it was definitely about, you know, individually bench, but definitely the 12, and have we got the legislation and prepped to host.
It's like the end result of those 2 weeks or whatever we decide to do is then the river.
Everybody floating, we're off.
We need to sort of look at it from a practical perspective. When can we do it?
Yeah.
And how long do we need to prepare to do it? And in the middle of the first weekend in December, we obviously got this conference in Exeter with a lot of people coming on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people who are going to be with us for a few days after that. So, you know, so there, I'd sort of prefer to avoid that weekend if we can. because it's in-house, isn't it? It's a personal thing which God is talking to us to do. It's not necessary. Those people might not relate to that.
Well, we've got, okay, so we've got two weeks before that. So we've got next weekend and the following weekend.
Yeah.
And then after that, we've got
2 weeks.
2 weeks before Christmas. So we don't actually have a run of 3 weeks.
Right.
Was it a 3 week or a 2 week? Unless you give them it as homework, by the way.
No, we said three, didn't we?
But I mean, if we were to engage a Golden River, then anyone could join in on there.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying, really.
But then that would mean doing something this week.
Yeah.
Which is obviously quite a
short notice
thing to do. Short notice for whoever's going to do it.
Firstly, that would be forgive and release, which usually falls into Dev's hands. Is that a remote possibility or not?
Okay, this is a fear. Probably a fear of getting it wrong these days because everything has changed so much. I don't know how it would need to be updated to be able to do it now. Because of the way that it would have come from before, and all the where our viewpoints and slides.
I don't think it's changed, other than from a perspective of forgiveness. It's recognizing that we've already been forgiven. We do that anyway in forgive and release. Mm. We come from a perspective we're forgiven, so we need to forgive others.
Mm.
So that hadn't changed.
I mean, the thing that immediately springs to mind is sin, our sin, and the sin.
Mm.
That, you know, clarifying that, but principle of we forgive because we're forgiven,
yeah,
and we release it so that we're not carrying it around with us.
Yeah, it's not changed.
Is the same. What else might?
Other than
the way
actually
that you say things, and it is my issue. I appreciate, but I would run away from doing any teaching now because the kids have got it wrong. In the sense of what you say.
Yeah, well, that's an accusation,
isn't it?
Which is not true, is it?
I know, I'm just being vulnerable.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate that. In essence, when you look at forgive and release, it's just, we would just encourage the engaging God to hear the issues that are in your heart more than the person trying to wheedle them out of somebody in ministry. So it would be... You know, the way
tried to wheedle them out. Well, the whole thing is like, this could be the area, this could be the area.
Yeah, but it's more of a one-on-one thing, isn't it? It's been a one-on-one thing.
Not with Deb's taught it.
Yeah.
You've done a fantastic teaching.
We're not talking about like me just talking to you, are we? We're talking about the principles of it are
I don't see there's that much difference. We're encouraging people to be able to engage God so that God can show them if they're carrying something in unforgiveness towards somebody. I mean, that's which we would have done anyway. You know, you don't go around and tell someone, do you, what they're in unforgiveness for. You look for them to have that revealed to them. We could do some sort of encounter which helped them to have that revealed one way or another, but you know, it's still the same basic process.
Yeah.
Where you carry
the other thing I'm thinking about is Monday, we're talking about Sunday, is the sense that we've done it over like 3 weeks. We've never, because it's so important, it's not a 1 week thing anymore, is it? Because we've done it forgiving others, forgiving yourself, forgiving.
Yeah, but if you put all that into the one thing, you're carrying something towards somebody or yourself or anyone else, then I don't think you have to go into it in the detail, because we want to legislate for people being open so that the environment will be there. You're not necessarily having to create the environment over 3 weeks. We can create that by facilitating that so that the spirit would be moving, that we would be interacting, you know, whatever needed to happen to engage them.
So you'd come really from the, you'd set it out on this week that God has talked to us about disappointments.
Yeah.
So whether it's disappointment in your father, disappointment in relationship, disappointment in God, disappointment in anything, be open to engage.
Yeah.
So the engagement at the end could be very much for God to show people specifics to do with disappointment.
But they need to first understand that once they've identified that, that the end result
is got to let it go.
Negative release. Not just a, oh, what do I do with this? But it's actually how
general,
we deal with it is to forgive them. And release.
If they get the opportunity and that we're looking for God to speak to them, whatever he speaks to them will be good. If it's anything, whether it's disappointments, hurt, pain, whatever it is, it'll be good for them to get rid of it.
Sorry, I've just been disappointed about not having any disappointments.
Well, you see, I haven't got any disappointments, you've certainly got something else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're disappointed by not having any disappointments because it's deeper.
But yeah, I think if we're looking to just to respond to what God has said, then we've got to expect that this will be positively received and embraced.
Yeah. So we can come from the point of God has spoken to us.
Yeah, and told us this is something that for everybody to fulfill their destiny, they can't be held back by those things which are hindering, whatever they are. But disappointment, hope deferred, be it having a sick heart, which stops you being excited, passionate, enthusiastic about the opportunities that God's presenting. Because eventually we'll want to present the opportunities to everyone and say, here's all the opportunities God's giving us. We want to encourage you to engage God and find, does any of these stir you?
I think actually potentially the beginning of the year would be a good time to plan that in.
Yeah, the new things, definitely. So let's make sure we remove any obstacles before we begin to inspire people to see, there's some great opportunities for what God's doing. Your heart.
Well, no, I saw bowel was melting, so I thought that's hearing bowels melting.
Well, I took my jumper off, so it was pretty warm. So if we could do that on this week, and then the following week we would then look to continue to give opportunity to with anything else, or would we explain anything else?
Well, I think that we would need to continue with the. So at the end of this Sunday, people could get. If God had revealed stuff to them straight away,
but we need to
encourage them to continue seeking God to join the weeks, and we would continue
dealing
with this appointment the following week. But how we do that?
Well, I mean, the different ways. I mean, when Hazel did a thing, remember she had like all sorts of different stones and balloons and all sorts of different things that people may connect to one or other. I mean, if we have the basket and the shredder and the cross, and it's just here's some ways in which you can offload this stuff, or
just
against. And there's nothing wrong, I think, in doing a corporate thing. Just say, okay, we're just going to spend a few minutes right now with an opportunity for anything that God has shown you during the week, and anything you just let's spend 5 minutes just seeing if God's going to show you anything else, and then give that opportunity then of helping people to embrace that by doing something practical to let it go.
So would we want to give, do we think that people would need an opportunity to speak to somebody in that process? Like if we were in smaller groups, or would that not be necessary?
Well, I think it could be available. It could be, okay, if you want to talk to anyone, there's three or four people here who are sat at a table at the back or somewhere where you can go privately and talk to them. If you want to do that, then we could have three or four people who are willing to sit there, and if anyone wants to come and talk to them, they can. That would be one way of doing it. Then it's optional for anyone who wants to talk, rather than mandatory. because some people like to, and some because some people might be confused.
But also, I do think that, you know, sometimes people do need specific prayer.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you have to do it as we may have done it in the past, but even in that situation, leading somebody into an encounter where they are able to deal with their stuff, or taking mm-hmm. someone to their timeline, or going back to the generation, or having someone to, you know, to deal with those things,
yeah,
is.
I've got absolutely no problem with us ministering to people, so long as it's not focused in one person, just doing it to everybody. So long as people are ministering to people, it's fine. It's great, because that gives people an opportunity.
Yeah, but sometimes you do need the power of stuff broken off you, because you can't see it yourself, can you? So I think, like, although we don't want to do it all an old way, sometimes there is still power. If you're doing forgiveness, you still pray for them.
But there isn't anything wrong in that. The wrong focus is only when one person can do it, not everyone doing it.
But as long as you're focusing on leading somebody into an encounter or an engagement, what you do previously to get them to that place gets them to that place where they then encounter Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is or Father or whatever, which is
obviously,
that's the end result, isn't it, that you want, that they engage themselves. They might need help getting there.
But I don't think, also, they're not necessarily there. All this old, new stuff, isn't it just the heart of the application and the understanding of what you're doing? That's the new. So it might. So you've still got to talk to them in their cultural reference points and their language. Yeah. But your heart and your intention, is quite different to perhaps how those techniques, for want of a better word, were applied previously.
Well, the main focus, if that makes any sort of sense, helping people to understand that they're not reliant on that person.
Yes,
they
don't have to
engage God themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The whole deployment of whatever a solution looks like for that person, because that's their personal preference. Yes, that's just.
But we'd have to have plenty
language.
Of people, wouldn't we, to.
Well, I suspect,
available, because.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you do something corporate, in that there's a sort of helping people to get to the point where they can go and do whatever they feel, and then if someone then needs some help because they're struggling, then people can be available to help them. Because some people, you know, like the Crosscombe guys, have had no problem engaging with that type of thing before. They didn't need to go and talk to anyone else. They just basically ripped their stuff. They were pinning it to the cross. They were they responded to the balloons, the cushions, and all the stuff that we did quite a lot of that without things. So I think if I don't think necessarily masses of people would necessarily need help, but if they did, and you know, and there's nothing wrong in actually ministering to people to break the yoke or burden or remove the disappointment as a something that we help them do. You know, there's nothing wrong in that at all. It's just
only because obviously on Tuesday night at Costco, I get Karen was talking to somebody and sent somebody, you need some toe ties that need dealing with, or you need someone to do actually ministering. But actually, one of the things that I do know is actually encourage them to step in with them and start with, and actually ask the simple question that's at the beginning of the light busing. You Jesus.
So what did you want to say? You started to say something just now.
Oh, I think it's just the same. I think start with a corporate, because you know you could give that paper and have pens, and you are on your own in that way. And then if you do need to talk to anyone, a few people available.
I think it would be good, and if we look to then, bottom line is we can go with the flow of what happens, what comes up, what God shows in the meantime. Then you know, beginning of December, you know, if we got to the point where we can do this golden thing, then that's a great opportunity for people to come and have an encounter with God, wherever, you know, those who haven't necessarily done that are still going to be able to encounter that. But those who have done the previous 2 weeks are going to be in a place where that hopefully will be something they can engage positively with an expectation, having not felt.
So we're going to start that process next Sunday.
We could do.
Are you happy to do that?
This is talking about Sunday, this week.
That's the 19th. The 19th.
Give it a go, eh?
So who wants to facilitate?
Give it a try.
Thank you, Deb. That's really lovely. Thank you.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't get back to anything because you've got a man.
I think it's the previous mandate that carries on.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's an angel behind you tapping on your shoulder.
Yeah,
it's you.
Remind you.
Yeah.
Remind you of that mandate.
So, no. Who wants to do more facilitate week two then? Dealing with disappointment, pinning it to the cross and stuff like that, because obviously we'll need somebody to do that.
I might be good to think about it.
You'll think about it.
At the stage.
Yes.
Well, it might be easier to flow, and then you can, things you don't do the first week, you can pick out the second week.
Well, let me see, I'll get on with it, but if you want me to do it.
We will.
What?
It's all right.
We have a positive expectation.
Definitely.
But those are some of the things that you don't really, until speaking that out, those would, you know,
yeah.
It is, I do generally have a thing about, we'll have to throw out everything that I've ever done now because it's all new and that's old. I'm not saying that that's the truth. What I'm saying is those are the things that tie you up, aren't they?
Yes.
And genuinely, when you said it was like, well, I can't do it because it's going to be different now. Those are some of the things that can bring disappointment, isn't it? Because I know that I would have had a mandate to do that in the past.
But the heart of what you deliver things is different.
Doing it now.
Yeah, but you do deliver things from a different heart.
I'm just saying, I wasn't like. Yeah.
It's just an observation on the process that was going on.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. How easy it is it. To.
Yes.
All of us to get tied into that.
Talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I easily did as you were saying it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's me back.
And I think
this the next morning, though.
Going into the new year, we need to look at how we do things more engaging. Also, when I move on to the pathway of responsibility proper, then it's probably more beneficial to actually then do two sessions again, because people are not, this stuff is we've been doing new versus old is all mindsets and belief systems. When I go into, well, we're going to go on to imagine on, that's not going to be appropriate for those people, are they, unless they're at that point. So
I don't think it's appropriate for
them. But so I think we need to be looking ahead at, look at, let's engage for our managers and everything else, looking at for revelation of how we do things differently so that we have opportunities for engaging things on Sundays, not just teaching. More practical, experiential things, which hopefully these sessions will lead into, but then going forward, what will that look like? What would it look like for, I don't know, the Freedom Mountain or the Blessing Mountain or the Health Mountain or any mountain to help facilitate people engaging with the heart of that mountain? And it could be, you know, more than one thing at a time, but how do we do that? And let's look at practically looking at doing something differently. Because bottom line is, you know, we still do things similarly to what we've done before. We have an activation thrown in, but basically it's some teaching, activation, some worship. But I think we can look to be much more creative in how we help people engage. And like, you know, one of the things, at the last thing God said was about angels and the men in white linen wanting more participation in what we do. How would we facilitate that? You know, we've got those four angels that are assigned to us. How often does anyone engage with them? You know, do we ever even remind people that they're there? You know, do we give people an opportunity of engaging? Probably not, because we're sort of familiar and it's just like, well, you know, if they're there, you know, but they are here to help us. Like winds of change, Becky saw winds of change actually doing the swirling of this thing to make it a vortex. Well, you know, what would, you know, if anyone needs to hear their destiny or something call them out, well, Sound of Many Waters is the angel that has been assigned to help that. But are we helping people to facilitate that? You know, we used to use banners and flags and things and set them out. We haven't done that for a long time. Now that might just be because God hasn't inspired it, but it may just be because we aren't looking for that as much. You know, ways of helping to engage, which are different. You know, I mean, you know, when we did, I don't know, fire tunnels and things like that, from a, hey, let's engage and let's experience something, then it gave people an opportunity for something to happen. And if you don't give people an opportunity for something to happen, then something won't happen. By and large, because if people just go along with the flow, won't they? And I think just let's be open to a creativity in how we engage people, you know, so we become more that way in our thinking, rather than just, well, we're just going to carry on with the same. Yeah, because the end of the day, you know, I can teach people in Malthus. I don't need an audience. If we feel that actually we want to spend 3 or 4 months actually focused on engaging, it's no problem for me to carry on doing the Engaging God program. I can teach that in my office easily. You know, so
what you're saying, you'll do a Sunday meeting in your office?
No, I'm saying I would teach it any time. I don't have to do it on a Sunday. I can do it. Teaching anywhere.
Yes, fine.
So we can do something else on the Sunday.
Yes,
I think would be very good actually. That would shake things up a bit. It'd also give people opportunity to be involved, not just pew fodder.
Yeah.
Plus to encourage growth somewhat.
Because the only difference is an activation at the end.
Yeah.
What we need to do, probably need to do something different to make it more interactive. So,
agreed.
I think that would be very helpful. Yeah. Mm. Cool.
So I think it would be good for all the mountains to just consider. And
quickly. Quickly.
Well, we've got 2 weeks.
No, because we're talking about next week. 1 week. About next year, aren't we? So.
Next year for these.
This is all the program to consider.
Oh, yes, the golden. The golden.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That's part of it, but also, the golden sort of river, waterfall, pool.
So you can do that when they come up from... Is that the weekend after? Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. That's what I...
That'd be great.
That's what I think is... Yeah, be great.
That'd be good. Yeah,
cool.
Release the river.
Release the rivers!
Because actually they can go and take it back to the...
Yeah, exactly. In you go. Yeah, off you go.
Soaked.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, what's that you got there? There you go.
But can I encourage everyone to engage that and to specifically for what you need to come into agreement to be released is actually what I felt that he wanted us to do, is to make sure that we know what his intention and his heart is within that river, so that we can come into agreement with it to be able to release it in this place.
So do we want to do anything else on disappointment for now, or are we...?
I think that if we're going to do that, we need to do a corporate disappointment now. Corporate disappointment. Court thing, don't we?
Yeah,
the 12 job.
And also, during the week, we also need to be, from our mountain perspectives, legislating the walking in forgiveness to create that environment. So each mountain brings that aspect to it on Sunday, so that people are... The atmosphere is that people will walk in forgiveness.
Let's do it.
Just convene the court and step into it and call for the accusations in association with disappointment. Okay. Usually when we do it corporately, we just basically share the gist of the things that we heard, all agree, and then we can go in and deal with the things we heard. That's the easiest way to do it. So anyone want to share their accusations they heard?
Right, so I've got fear, hopelessness, it won't work, unbelief, I've tried that already, sorrow, heartache, broken promises, unfulfilled expectations, and wrong expectations.
Okay. Do I need to write all these down? Yeah, not really.
We did talk about putting court cases on Slack, didn't we? So
well, we can each send them in written down, and you can just cut and paste them
Would
in.
Would everybody email them to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But like as soon as, because I'll need to post this as soon as. Thank you. Sorry.
I've got entitlement, fear of failure, false expectation, things haven't worked out and as they should have, and weariness.
What's that?
Weariness.
Okay.
It doesn't work. Make sense?
Yes.
Sorry. It doesn't work for me. I cannot. It has never worked, so why try? I don't belong anyway.
I got it's promised but it never comes. Dreams and expectations unfulfilled. Okay. People get disillusioned and heartsick. You promise resources but they don't always come, particularly money and people. And you never break your word but you don't always fulfil it either.
I've got we have the new but nothing has changed. There's lots of talk but no results. I don't want to take responsibility because I want somebody to do it for me. God doesn't answer, and the new isn't working.
You.
Hmm?
You.
Oh, right, we're going round. Everybody
else is thinking. Yeah.
It was somewhere else. It was somewhere else. Prophecy, but with good intentions, but it was false. Revivalism, expecting God to just do it. Financial issues, sowing, giving tithes but not reaping. Healing expectations, unrealistic and false expectations, wishful thinking. Believing lies about God through religion.
Oh. A couple of personal ones. I'll share one of. Because I think God's been working on this anyway, and I just go with the flow. So sometimes I'm just doing things, I know not why. And then it comes apparent later. So I spent an awful long time repairing a watch that I've had for years and years and years. It was the first watch my father gave me, which I was very ingracious towards because it was second hand and I didn't think much of it. So I never really wore it. And it stopped. And I felt the urge to repair this thing and get it working again, which I have. And I'm not a watch repairer, by the way, but somehow, for some reason, I was able to repair this thing and it's running. So there's a bit that was me letting go of that disappointment for my father. So I started there, but I ended up, the only place I ended up was trying to impose my, or slash our, but my timeline onto God's. Frustration at being ready when not, which is a maturity and relationship issue. So kind of that perception of thinking that you're ready and why isn't it happening and you're not, and it's actually time must pass, you're not mature enough. So that's what I've heard and let go.
Okay, well, hopelessness was the first one. Then I got been there, done it, got the t-shirt, failed.
What about the hat?
Yeah. Did you get his badge as well, though?
Yeah.
No, well, there you go. That's where you got soldier.
Don't put yourself through it again. And then you really thought you heard God. Obviously, you didn't then. What makes you think you will now? And stay safe.
Wowzers.
I've got one main thing. Distraction. Disappointment was a distraction. It's distracting.
It certainly is.
I got feeling rambled, not respected, valued or honoured, no one talks to me, bitterness, angry, false relationships, people wear a mask, want to remain hidden, lack of peace, worthless, don't belong here, gossip, love, life and spirit, cluelessness, I don't get it and no one helps me. Well.
Lack of understanding and poor communication.
Okay. Well, we started there, didn't we? Yes, we're back to the beginning. Okay, well, let's engage and let's deal with those expectations, accepting them, whatever the accusations are. Let's accept them and let's get the verdict. We can do that out loud, or you can just do it. I think it doesn't really matter, to be honest, because we're doing it before God.
We just not do it corporately, because we've like shared them. Can one person just not do that?
Well, we can if you want, but you'd have to go through. I've got them all written down.
We've just said them.
We've voiced them.
Okay.
Right. We're not acknowledge and accept those accusations.
Well, yeah,
we
think that was voiced.
Yeah. All right. Are you going to do that then?
No.
I haven't dealt with the accusation yet, so.
No. Okay, alright. Okay. So we stand in the court of accusation, we stand corporately in identification for ourselves, for the ecclesia, for God's people, for all that we are associated with and connected with. We stand under the covering of God's love, under His judgment. We stand under the new covenant. We stand forgiven. In righteousness, clothed with robes of righteousness, and we accept each and every accusation that we have received. We come into agreement with it, we accept our own part in it, and we identify with those both in our own generational lines and also here amongst everyone within the church. We take that accusation and we confess we are guilty as charged to each and every accusation that's been brought. So standing under this covering, we ask that our Father the Judge would issue judgment on our behalf, that we would receive the verdict of not guilty. We accept that verdict, we receive the scroll that brings freedom to every accusation that's been made, that judgment released against all our accusers, both present and absent, the power to bring and use disappointment to distract has been broken, and we have the authority now to have hope fulfilled as a tree of life. For an outpouring of this river of life, this river of glory out of heaven, to manifest in our midst, to bring fresh hope, fresh expectation. We receive that verdict, we place it in our own hearts, we place it within each mountain that we represent, and we take that verdict and use it to release an atmosphere that opens each person to be forgiven, to release forgiveness, to release those who disappointed them and disillusioned them, so that everyone will be free from these accusations in their own life. So we decree and declare that this will be an environment of hope, that all hopelessness, despair, despondency, depression will be released, and a new sense of expectation will arise, that you will pour out from heaven this wonderful golden river of hopes fulfilled, the tree of life. So let's make sure we provide a covering protection for those that the enemy might want to use this opportunity to bring more despair and despondency rather than the hope that will bring change. So in the next 2 weeks, we want to make sure we really do put a shield around everything that's going on, yeah, so that God does what he wants to do, and the enemy, although we've got a verdict, we've got to enforce it. Let's make sure we enforce it from each of our mountains to ensure that we're going to facilitate people coming into this freedom, so they can find their destiny.
Well, that was item one. So I don't think we'll do the rest of the agenda, but I do know that the seven wanted to talk about what the plans are over Christmas for meetings. So do you want to look at that quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
So Friday before Christmas.
Well, the Carolyn's approach, isn't she, with the guys would like to do a pantomime?
Yes.
So the thoughts were, I think she came up with a date which was the 14th of December, which we weren't too sure about, and wondered whether we could combine that with our
Christmas songs.
If we indeed choose to have Christmas songs, or what the thoughts were, because obviously Christmas Eve is a Sunday.
Yes.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve is also Sunday.
Yes.
So it was their thoughts to have a late New Year's Eve meeting? Would we want to? We just didn't feel that it was actually just us, because everybody's involved, really, musicians, everybody's affected, not just us making a decision. So we thought we would bring it in this environment.
What date had you thought about the pantomime?
Well, the thought that we had was potentially the Friday night, which would be the 22nd.
And then
has that been agreed with?
Nothing's been agreed, okay. Because I don't know who Carolyn spoke to, but she suggested the 14th, which I don't even know what day that is.
Thursday.
You know, if the feeling is do that, then that's fine. I don't know why she suggested that. Was there a reason?
She said they picked it, but I said okay. It wasn't.
Yeah.
We felt
settled.
23rd will give them an extra week.
It would.
22nd.
It's to prepare.
It would be the 22nd if it's that Friday. If it's that was just a suggestion that we had. Were there thoughts musician-wise? Did you have thoughts of doing something Christmassy, musicy? Did you want to do it on a Sunday? Did you want to do it and combine it with the pantomime? Had you? We're only throwing out ideas because it affects more than just us. We didn't feel we could say, right, this is what we're going to do, because it's a lot of people. Did you want to meet on Christmas Eve? Did you? Cause
I don't think it's just down to us. I think it's not just down to musicians.
Yeah. No, and we didn't feel it was just, we felt it was
when I engaged God about it, I felt God say, do whatever you like.
Do whatever you like.
Yeah. So there was no, like, hey, no, there's nothing wrong or right about anything you want to do.
Meeting's a meeting, aren't
it? So, you know, yeah. But personally, I'd prefer not to be on Christmas Eve, but
any thoughts about not doing a Christmas Eve? Who would prefer to and who would prefer not to?
It's up to you, but I wouldn't be there.
Well,
if we did the Friday, if we did the Friday,
yeah,
then I would prefer not to do Christmas Eve.
Right.
Yeah. That's my view. Haven't got a whole.
I mean, obviously, if we decided to meet on Christmas Eve, then we would. People would need to do stuff. So that's why we, you know, musician wise, band wise, what's your thoughts?
Sunday, not Sunday. It just depends who's available. It's always the same question. Who's available?
Yeah.
So.
person else can speak, then I've said. We will our reasoning, rationale.
Because when do we close here?
The Friday.
Friday.
Finish on the Friday. We'll open again the following Wednesday.
And then New Year's Eve, which is the following Sunday. So were we thinking of doing a late New Year's Eve thing, or just a normal Sunday, or not at all?
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, to the end of the day, you know, other than last year when we did something specific, generally it's those people who want to come, people don't, if they don't, so...
Well, the one before I thought was really odd, I have to say.
The one before what?
The
Ketubah. The Ketubah, the year before. It's like nothing, people just sat in silence, really.
Well, some of it's
I, you know,
what is the mandate for doing it and what do we do it? Normally we come to engage and see what God's saying for the new year.
But it was really, people just stayed quiet on there. So I think it's just, you know, if God is saying do that, that's fine. I know you was like, well, I want to do that because it's the beginning of a new year.
Well,
but I think there needs to be, if we do it, there needs to be a mandate for it and... rather than just, well, we always do this on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't see there's any... there would be no reason not to do New Year's Eve Sunday morning. Christmas Eve, I have my own personal preference because I've got a whole meal to prepare. But it's New Year's Eve I haven't, so in that sense, I wouldn't have any problem meeting... on Sunday morning, because it's just a Sunday for me. New Year's Eve is the evening, not the morning. Mm-hmm. So any other day, isn't it? It's the morning. So I wouldn't see any problem with why we shouldn't eat Christmas Eve, or New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
if we're going to do something later, then we need to get a mandate for what that is.
For what it looks like. Last year it was specific,
wouldn't see there's
it?
Any reason not to meet in the morning.
What happens if we brought the play back a day to Thursday evening?
What would be the point of that?
Well, if people who struggle with Christmas Eve.
It's not Christmas Eve.
It's not Christmas Eve.
Friday's Sunday's Christmas Eve.
Sorry, Friday.
The Sunday's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so Friday's okay.
Friday's just 22nd.
It doesn't have to be the Friday, it was just a thought.
In a sense, it's just like next day is, you're not going to go to work or do anything, are you? It's off, so...
Yeah.
Do we Christmas shopping
for next day? Well, yeah. But, if you do Christmas shopping that late, then yeah. But it's not a late evening anyway, is it? It wasn't late last time we did it in the evening, was it? Particularly.
Well, it would be late if you had a pantomime and then the Christmas song.
Music.
But I'm not talking about 11, 12 o'clock, are we? We're talking about half past 9.
It's a whole evening. It's not an hour.
No, but it's like half past 9, 10 o'clock finished, not midnight. Something, and if we start at 7,
that's still a long evening, I'd have thought, isn't it?
What, until half past 9?
Well, it isn't, is it? Realistically, it's the whole evening, and then you're talking potentially over mince pies and things after. It is an evening, it's not like...
What we don't know is how long they're
playing.
Okay.
But if we're not going to have any sort of message or anything, then it really only needs to be a couple of hours.
So are we thinking that we won't meet on Christmas Eve, but we will meet on New Year's Eve? So it's just a day. So are we also thinking that our Christmas Eve themed music will be for the pantomime evening?
Well, do we want to do it? The bottom line is, do you want to do... it's the musicians who do it.
That's what...
Do you want to do it? Or not?
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. Then that would be a good time to do it, wouldn't it? In that sense, I think, because it would tie it all together.
Just do them. We might inflict them on you before that.
There's some good songs.
The set, you know.
Yeah, there's some good songs.
Well, last year we didn't actually have enough time to do what we wanted to do. Not that we had an agenda, but so, yeah, we can have a set, but actually, you know, we didn't do what we wanted to do last year. So, you know, we shouldn't pressure ourselves to have to say, let's play, when actually we didn't do what we wanted to do.
What do you want to do?
So do you want to get together with musicians then? Because there's no pressure, is it? We're talking a few weeks away.
We'll meet tomorrow night, don't
we? So do you want to, like, we just throw it out there and then you just talk about it? Because obviously you don't have to do anything.
No, I know.
They could just do a pantomime.
Yes.
We could do Christmassy things on the Sunday before if you felt that you wanted to.
Just
so
drop them in anywhere. Mm-hmm. Anytime.
Anytime.
You can start from the end of November and start to play a song here and there. So it's not like...
So we leave that.
We have to have a precious set. We have to play all the Christmas songs.
Okay, so we leave it with you guys to.
We don't have to do the whole Christmas EP in one setting.
Oh, but you do.
Yeah.
So is that right? That's really so. Is people can just take it away, see what God they think God's saying, and then we'll just come back. But we probably do need to give Carolyn a definite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the pantomime, don't
we? Well, say, yeah. I mean, that gives them
quite an extra week.
Quite an extra week to.
Are you saying
yes
for the 22nd?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she's here Thursday, so I'll talk to her Thursday.
Have they got a sort of producer this year?
Yeah.
Duncan's
still around.
Done it again.
Yeah.
He's
going to do it again.
Yeah, he's a lab now. He's himself. So, here it's a pirate theme.
It is. They told me on Sunday that they're all...
Probably last year. Last year we were superheroes.
Pantomime characters like Peter Pan and Aladdin.
Yeah. Batman,
Captain Hook.
Yeah, but it was all based on their particular
characteristics.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was. Yes, we were just hoping that Grant would do the pantomime dame again.
Oh yeah.
Did
you
go to?
Listening
so good.
They were all amazing.
Quite hilarious.
Yeah.
As Aladdin. Yeah. Politically incorrect, but very good.